Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're going to be talking with David Stearns, the president of Dale Carnegie, Maine. And we're going to be talking about all the different type of potential courses that your organization or your team could really benefit from across the platform when it comes to training. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good, good, good. Hey, you know, before we get started, you have this special program coming up for Generation Next for high school students that's coming up in July next month. I know there are a few seats still available. This program is really for high school students, maybe first-year college students. Talk a little bit more about that. I think it's just important for people to know what's happening because we have HR professional business leaders who could really benefit from their courses being provided to local high school kids.
You bet. Well, thank you, David. Yes, the Generation Next program has been around for several years, and it came out of a need that was identified in our adult classes when at graduation they started asking us, you know, when is this kind of training going to be available to our kids? They need it most when they're in high school, getting ready to launch into the world. So it didn't take too much design because we took the standard Dale Carnegie program and redesigned it into a three-day format. So it is the same program the adults get. It's just for teenagers, and they provide the substance to it. They provide the talks. They provide the experiences. So it's a Generation Next program. It's the same material that the adult program uses, a whole different outcome, though, the way it's adapted by the youth and the way they use things.
You know, this is across the country, of course, and across the globe that this program is used. I know we're going to be talking about a local one here in Maine that's coming up in July, but you talked about how it gets started. Talk about some of the outcomes of that program. What can a parent who thinks about sending their student to this really gain from it?
Well, what we have found is that the outcomes are the same as in the Dale Carnegie course. The biggest thing that we see, and I've seen it personally, I've delivered several of these over the years. The first one I delivered was in Kennebunk High School to my son's class, all right, and my daughter's class. And so that was part of a Rotary project. A Rotary actually sponsored it. And we saw the same kinds of things, that they developed more confidence. A better ability to let people know they're in control of their lives, their jobs. It was that was brought about because of developing their ability to communicate more effectively, whether they were one-on-one in a social situation or even before a large audience, which was our format. They developed a better understanding of people. The base text in the program is how to win friends and influence people. We haven't changed that. And so they develop a better understanding of people, better able to get results with people, better able to collaborate. And then the fourth area is controlling stress, the ability to help put stress in perspective so that they channel the anxiety into a more productive way. So we saw the same outcomes. In fact, the following fall after the program, the seniors coming back from their college breaks told me that one of the hot topics at the college interviews was the fact that Dale Carnegie graduate appeared on their, you know, their academic resume that they were turning in. And so the counselors or the people that were interviewing at the colleges were very interested in that course and the impact and the leadership implications of a Dale Carnegie experience.
Well, teenagers and young people are really looking
to discover how to handle and even seek out new responsibilities, right? They're they're focused on how better to communicate with their teachers, to better communicate with adults. And really, at this point, build beyond their device, right? Because the devices have become so connected of how they communicate. I know a lot of adults, I know a lot of parents that say, you know, that their children could really benefit from learning how to better talk to individuals and connect with people. And this is exactly what the course is designed for, correct?
Right, that's correct. That and many more things. I was in a conversation yesterday with someone about our youth program, and she said just something simple like smiling and greeting people is something that is that she sees in the youth. And she was talking about her own, but she was talking about other other children that she works with.
Right, it's that basic, some of the fundamentals.
Oh yes, right.
Right, and that they're really looking at it, how can they really focus on better connecting with people, because
right,
it is a
right,
people world.
Right, right. In the opening session of the program, we talk about how to start a conversation, how to be a good conversationalist. And so we work with a memory exercise that gives them confidence to engage with someone and ask the right kind of questions to get a conversation going. And then we expect them to practice that throughout the 3 days that we hold the program. They're meeting new peers as well. So they're practicing these skills, real life, in the 3 days of the program.
What people may not know, or individuals may not know, that this also can be used for a college credit.
Yes, that's right.
Explain that a little.
Well, the American Council of Education, this goes back a few years, but in 1983, Dale Carnegie and Associates went through a rigorous accreditation process, and the American Council on Education deemed that Dale Carnegie, with the rigor and the discipline and what they put into a program, is of college-level quality. And as such, they will offer or support the credits for the various programs, depending on the length and the content. It's up to colleges and institutions to accept that accreditation, but we haven't, in my tenure, 35 years, I haven't had a college say no to a Dale Carnegie course credit.
No, and that's great, because that's always something that, you know, if young people can come in and get a credit for the course,
exactly,
it's a win-win all the way around, and it's just like taking a three-day course that they can actually get some credits for.
Right.
One of the other things is that we find that young professionals talk about is they want skills that lasts them a lifetime, right? Something that really is focused on having them being more civic-minded, more focused on today's youth, right? Talk a little bit about, as we wrap up on this course, how that really focuses and how the course helps them in that area.
Well, one of the benefits, I think, of Dale Carnegie training is our cycle. We call the cycle of self-development, whereby in each session of the program, and this works in a three-day format as well as a spaced learning format, is that we key in first and foremost on an individual's attitude, right? How important the attitude is. Is this something they want to do? Is this something that they feel they can do? And so part of the session is to build that I can do it attitude if you show me how. Our key to our methodologies is our fundamentals. We use fundamentals, concepts, principles that we know work. They've worked well since 1912, 105 years. So these principles we still work with today. What makes the material stick is that our coaching, the right coaching at the right moment, individual coaching, even though in a group, takes them through what we call the knowledge practice trap. And by that we mean that if I know something intellectually, am I likely to behave different tomorrow just based on that knowledge? And what's true of all of us is that we won't. Just knowing it isn't enough. So our coaches engage the participants in the class and coach them to a better outcome, a better experience, and that gives them the encouragement or builds the habits that do, in fact, last a lifetime.
No, it's great. And I think this is something that, you know, if you're thinking about your son, daughter, niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter, it's such a simple thing to do to help them with a lifelong skill. And I think when what you're talking about is really thinking about individuals, could be anyone who could attend. And it can make that happen. I mean, there is no limit in terms of that.
Right.
And I certainly know that it just from a local perspective, but anybody should go to DaleCarnegie.com.
Go to Maine.DaleCarnegie.com.
Right, and look up under Generation Next program. But if you're in any other state, go to your state's Dale Carnegie program and look it up. I know here in Maine that the Westbrook, it's going to be held at Westbrook at Huston University on Tuesday, July 25th through Thursday, July 27th. It's 3 days, three consecutive days, 9 to 5 a.m. And so you can go and register online. So, Dave, thank you for telling us about that. I think it's great for the youth and what we can do for them in terms of it. All right. So, you know, one of the other things that Dale Carnegie does is, and you've mentioned, is they do a day of giving. And this is a program that has been instituted by the new president, Joe Hart, who we have had on as a guest here on our show. Talk to us a little about what that's all about and certainly why it's important to the organization.
Well, this was when Joe first came aboard, one of his efforts to make a difference in the world was to do not just a local day of giving, but it's a global day of giving. We've set aside one day globally whereby all franchises are invited to participate and offer free of charge to nonprofit organizations that qualify a day of training of their design or offer a public program that several nonprofit organizations could feed into. And it can be, it's usually a half a day workshop, and it can be topical on anything from employee engagement to controlling stress to teamwork or customer service, leadership, conflict resolution. It really depends on the organization and what they feel their greatest need is at this time.
And that annual Global Day of Giving is October 18th, 2017, right? And I think that certainly I know each franchise decides what organization or what they're going to be helping with. You know, when you've thought about this, it's kind of a give-back effort from the organization, correct?
Correct. Right.
And where do you see the need? Where is a typical need that an organization could contact us about from a nonprofit perspective that might be helpful if they were interested in talking to you about it?
Well, I think it would be the same conversation we would have with anyone that called us about organizational needs that they have, and it may be something on employee engagement or staff engagement. It may be on something on supervision or leadership or teamwork, whatever their issues are. And the nonprofit organizations have identical needs to the for-profit organizations, and so they are challenged with getting training programs that would help their organizations grow. And sometimes their budgets are restricted, so this is a great opportunity. If you're a nonprofit, give us a call, and we can discuss how it works and what they could expect from it and make a decision.
That's great. Oh, Dave, I appreciate you providing us this information. We're going to talk a little bit more about Dale Carnegie in general in our next segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
When things come out of left field, having a game plan makes all the difference. Luckily, Farmers Insurance has been helping people cover their bases for 88 years, and they can help you too. Talk with an agent today so you can see if your coverage is ready for whatever curveballs may come your way. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because, well, we've seen a thing or two. Put our experience into play at Farmers.com. Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Farmers.com.
Bum, 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 bum.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. We're talking with David Stearns, the president of Dale Carnegie. We had our first segment. We talked a little bit about the Generation Next program and a little bit about, obviously, the Global Day of Giving. You know, in this segment, Dave, what I thought I'd talk about a little bit is HR professionals want to know, why spend the money on training? Look, we have a lot of internal people that help with training. We have a lot of programs in our organization. Or maybe we don't have any. But there's a cost to training. So why spend the money when, you know, hey, we might be able to do it ourselves? What's the benefit to an organization when they look at professional training coming in?
Well, I think there's a couple of benefits. I think one of the biggest benefits I've found out over the years to organizations that are in a position to provide their own in-house training and our staff to do so, one of the benefits that we've got is that there may be an individual or two or three that has a particular – had a need identified in an assessment or a performance review, and rather than developing a program for one or two or three people, it may benefit them to utilize our public programs that varying from 3 days to 8 weeks long, that it may address a specific performance issue that would be actually more cost effective than if they had to go and design one and develop one and print one and on their own. So that's one benefit. The other benefit is that we pride ourselves on being facilitators and trainers, and we are subject to rigorous certification and recertification to maintain a Carnegie trainer status. And we're the, as far as I know, we're the only ones in the world that have the ISO standard, the International Standards Organization. It's 2008, 2001, and no one else in the training industry can claim that in the world. So it makes us unique from standpoint of we subject ourselves to a third-party analysis of our training methods, our design and development methods, and that sets us apart. And our biggest I guess our biggest customer base, it's the smaller organizations that maybe up to 500 people that the training and the organizational development is not as robust as they would like it to be for budgetary reasons. And they can often find some relief in a shorter designed program or utilizing teams of people in our ongoing public programs.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, any organization says, what's the ROI, right? What am I going to get back? I like to say ROP, return on people, right? But the reality is that there's only so much in any budget. And in this day and age, of course, organizations are trying to retain talent, right? Yeah. They're trying to keep talent because it is a candidate market right now. You know, candidates can find organizations that they can go to. There's plenty of jobs out there and opportunities. Yeah. So keeping and maintaining that talent And so from a Dale Carnegie perspective, using that training that you have and that certifications that you have really provides a big difference to an organization. What are some of the maybe the stats or some of the things that you see that people are talking about how it's made a difference in their organization?
Well, there's a couple of ways to answer that, David. One is it's important to know, I think, that if we look at our major public programs, and I'll take them one at a time, the Dale Carnegie course, which is our leadership course on effective speaking and human relations. Number two, we have a sales program, Dale Carnegie Sales Training, Winning with Relationship Selling. And then we have a Dale Carnegie Leadership Training for Managers. Each of those programs, three programs, has a ROI project built into the program. In sales, in our sales program, it's a weekly weigh-in with how sales have changed since the program started. So we get a weekly ROI on sales successes. In the Dale Carnegie course, there's a professional and organizational project that's part of that program where they have to demonstrate either revenue generating or money savings ideas using the skills in the program. In our Leadership Training for Managers course, we have an innovation project where they have to demonstrate and save their organization at least the tuition cost in the program using the innovation process, the planning tools, the functional tools that we talk about in that program. So each of them has an ROI built into them.
You know, I think the ROI is not only financial, but it's the people ROI, right? And sometimes soft skills, people look at and I know sometimes they say, well, how can I really see a return on that investment, right? How do you talk about that with organizations and how CFOs in particular, financial people, even HR people, say, how do I ensure I get that return on investment?
Well, at the end of each program, we do a VOC, a voice of customer assessment that goes out to each graduate. Within 48 hours of graduation, they'll get an email assessment, and we strongly encourage them to complete that. That gives us some statistical information on how people felt about the course. The biggest indicator for me has been when we call the bosses and the managers, and when we invite them to graduations and talk to them about what they've seen over the duration of the program, it's hard for them to quantify it, but they'll tell us that they've seen a difference, that they approach problems differently, that they're more confident and they speak up more in meetings, they're more effective on sales calls and on appointment setting calls and on prospecting calls if it's sales. So it's more of a intangible feedback that we get from the organizations that support the programs that tell us there's an ROI there. And we agree, it's hard to quantify the softer skills.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. But from one aspect, you can say, well, when you're developing and growing people, would you not say that over time that will see a direct correlation in an ROI?
Yes, especially if there's some retention, right? If people change, and we call it default back after the program, we haven't done our job. And so we get ongoing support from organizations all over the world, Fortune 500 companies that continually send people to grow and develop, and I don't think that would continue if they weren't getting the results that they thought they had earned.
One of the programs, and we talked a little bit about the Gen Next program, but let's talk about the Dale Carnegie program itself. This is the core program. Goes back the farthest, right? Talk a little bit about that program. Talk a little bit about the key metrics in it and how it works and how an organization would use it if they did or decided to in their organization.
Well, I think the Dale Carnegie course is probably it is, as you said, it's the granddaddy. It's the one that's been around the longest. We call it the flagship. It's the one we're best known for. And over the course of the program, and this is the one that effectively we deliver this in 8 weekly sessions, each 3.5 hours, and each session has an area of focus that will either and include helping people control stress, helping people develop better people skills and teaming skills, better leadership skills. And it's developed by helping people develop their communication skills. And they do that each week in the program. They select a topic and they prep for it, or they make a commitment and they prep for it, and they'll come back and deliver it in an environment that's supportive and approval-oriented. And they will receive some coaching, right? Some supportive coaching, some encouraging coaching, and encouraging them to push themselves out of their comfort zone. And so that creates the growth in that program, and that's the one that has withstood the test of time. It's 105 years old now, 106 years old now. And it's the methodology, the same methodology that was used 105 years ago. We've continually updated and refreshed the content to make it relevant in the changing times of today.
And I think that's the key. You know, sometimes right. people look at it and say, 105 years.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, how is it relevant today? And I think that's the key point of this, is knowing that it is even more relevant today than it was then because of the digital age.
Exactly.
And because of the way we communicate today and the lack of individuals who can actually communicate properly in a work environment.
Right. And concisely and clearly. It is a faster-paced world, and our program has built into it very strict timing guidelines and structure guidelines so that people do develop an ability to understand that if I'm going to inform or convince somebody, I approach a communication this way. If I want to motivate or inspire someone, I'll do it with this tool and this structure. And so we practice those throughout the program so that when life hands them a situation, they're equipped to deal with it.
So that's the Dale Carnegie program, the basic program. I know that when somebody passes, or and again, I do want to mention there is credits for this course.
Oh,
there
yes.
is accreditation as well with SHRM, as well as with HRCI in terms of the HR community. Both are provide credits in organizations for their accreditations.
Correct. And there are continuing education units on all of our programs. And those can be used toward recertification for any organization. And that's through our asset accreditation, American Council of Continuing Education and Training. Through them, we're licensed to offer CEUs.
Right.
Yep.
And that's great. I mean, I think that's very important in terms of accreditation in regards
well, this
to...
This applies to dentists. It applies to accountants. I mean, recategorize them to CPEs from CEUs and all of that. There's a formula for all of that, and we do that all through our global services division in St. Louis.
No, it's great, and that allows everybody to need them. If you
right.
need credits, this is a perfect way to get it.
Exactly.
One of the other courses that I know I've taken, which has been impactful to me, is the high-impact presentation course. Talk a little bit about, once somebody takes the Dale Carnegie course, why that's a natural progression to this course.
Well, it is a natural step because the Dale Carnegie course focuses on building your confidence and your ability to communicate clearly and concisely and not be intimidated by that. The high-impact presentation takes it a step beyond. The focus of the high-impact is on how your message delivers, how your message shows up, and how articulate and powerful and impactful you are when you communicate. So it's a coaching environment that focuses more on the delivery of your message than on the content, if that makes sense, that you will be coached rigorously. And the real learning comes and the real adaptation comes in the review room. Each presentation is videoed. And then you will review that video in a separate room with a different coach who will look at the video and coach and make goals and commitments for the next presentation. You actually deliver seven different kinds of presentations in one day. And each presentation is reviewed with another coach. You come back into the classroom and deliver the next talk. So it's things like making a good impression, establishing credibility, how to sell change, right? And so topics like that.
Yeah, some people think that obviously the course is just for people who present. It's also just for people to present their ideas, right?
I think it's one of the best leadership courses we have. It really is a leadership course because so much of leadership is how impactful your message can be.
And how to deliver it in an impactful way, right?
Exactly.
To make that happen.
Right.
In terms of it. You know, it's, I've seen it in a couple different formats, you know, 2 days, 1 days. It's the same course, is that correct, in
That's
terms
correct.
Of impact?
That's correct. On our 1 day, we limit the number of participants so that we can cover the curriculum. If an organization has more people, then we will do it in a two-day format.
Right, and to make that happen.
Right.
When you see individuals who have taken the course, what are some of the things that they say about the course? What are some of the impactful statements of what it's done for them?
Well, some people come in with a very specific agenda, a very specific, I've got a talk to deliver in 2 months or next month, and I need some polish, I need to be ramped up for it. It's a larger audience than I'm used to. And so we have those people connect with us after those kinds of scenarios. And we get great feedback. I knocked it out of the park. I got some great feedback. The audience was enjoying it. So we get good feedback after that. The other area is in a more directed place, people that are on task every day, sales professionals, HR professionals, in the meet the press kind of environments where they may be put on the spot within a moment's notice. They've reported back that thank goodness for the training because I was able to think on my feet, respond quickly, and it made a difference.
Yeah, I think that's right, the impact that it has to people. I know I've taken the course. I can impactfully say that it has made a difference in the way that I connected and some of the tools and things that I've used, including the water bottle I'm holding, right? And how to make it impactful of making that statement. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie Maine. And we will be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than 7 generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across 7 offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock. And it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with the one, the only David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie Maine. You know, David, we've talked about in the last segment two of the base courses, public courses, I should say, for Dale Carnegie. And I have to mention that these aren't only public courses. They can be in-house corporate courses
exactly.
as well, correct?
Correct. We do these, both of these, in fact, the high-impact presentations and the Dale Carnegie course for several organizations in Maine.
Great. So there are two more, if you want to say, public courses that I know that you do. Talk to us about what I would call the Leadership Training for Management course, or LTM course, as we love acronyms.
Yeah.
Who would be someone that an organization would think about putting in this course? And then what would they learn from it?
Okay, well, I think in any organization, any aspiring manager or even a veteran manager is going to benefit from this program. The focus of this program is on the functional aspects of being a manager, as opposed to the Dale Carnegie course, which is the softer skills. This focuses on process improvement. Processes such as innovation, planning, performance management, delegation, coaching, those are all process-driven functions of a manager. So this program focuses at the tools that you'll need to be able to do the more functional aspects of being a manager. It is balanced with people. In fact, we call it the balance between people and process. Too often, if a manager focuses on one more than the other, that imbalance creates a lot of dissension, a lot of disengagement. So a manager today needs to be able to keep the balance between the people side and then the process side. So an organization that is looking to give a manager a more process-driven approach to their management style would benefit from this.
So what would be an outcome that someone would look for if they take the course? And, you know, what are maybe the ROI for the organization? I know that one of the parts of this course talks about a project that they can work
Correct.
On and a benefit to that project. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, sometimes that's the measurable ROI that comes out of the project. If, in fact, the organization implements the project and they go on to do the things that are in the project, they have had measurable ROIs. What I've seen is the biggest outcome of that program is the time management. People become more efficient and more effective with their time. A process creates a replicatable, repeatable way to approach things. So managers become more efficient when they're either delegating, when they're coaching, or when they're building a performance review. So that predictability of outcomes helps them become more effective. They become more efficient because they have a better way to handle mistakes, for example. They have some tools for motivating people on their team. They have ways to look at their own drivers, their own accountability, their own self-direction. And so they become more efficient.
The other course that I know, the fourth public course, which again can be brought into in-house courses as well, is the sales course.
Correct.
It seems pretty obvious what a sales course would provide for you. But talk to us a little bit about the difference between a Dale Carnegie sales course.
When I open my sessions, I ask the sales participants, and I've had non-salespeople in the program as well, people that want to sell their ideas. I ask them, has selling changed in the last 5 years or the last decade? And it's an overwhelming yes, and the hands go up, and the discussion centers around things like technology, computers have created a higher knowledge-based customer. It used to be, you know, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. The slogan now is caveat vendedor, let the seller beware, because we have more educated clients, more educated customers that have done their research, and sometimes they can know your product better than you do. So what hasn't changed, though, and I believe this is the Carnegie difference, what hasn't changed is the way people buy. People buy, there is a psychological process to how people buy things. The mind, to make a decision, has to go through certain distinct steps. And if you're a professional in sales, it's more important to understand how people buy things and facilitate that process than it is not to understand that and try to manipulate it. The central theme in our sales training is the customer relationships, that you never compromise that for something that might be appeared slick or an inappropriate technique or something that might cause the client to feel uncomfortable.
When you get salespeople in the course, what are some of the hesitations that you see from individuals that are trying to sell their ideas or sell what they do? You know, some of them may say, well, I've been very successful,
right?
So So what are some of the hesitations that you see?
Well, the more veteran a salesperson is, I found that there may be an attitude as I've been there and I've done this, and you know, almost a show me attitude, show me something new, which is not a problem. We work with those attitudes. I've had my best results with top performance over the years in my sales program. Those are the people that grasp the ideas quickly. And to an organization, if a sales training program can create a 20% increase in sales for an individual, would you rather have that with a performer, a top performer, or would you rather have it with somebody that is not a top performer? So that comes out. The new or rookie salespeople, which we have more of, we get new salespeople. One of their biggest hesitations is their product knowledge, which we can't do anything about. So we tell them how to apply the product knowledge that you're
Sorry.
Sounds like a radio thing, right?
That's my iPad.
And no worries. No worries. Great.
All right. So the rookie or the sales professional that's been in the field a couple of 3 years benefits a lot because it's not hardwired yet. If they have bad behaviors or they have inappropriate things that they're doing in their sales calls, they can't unlearn them. It's not too late to unlearn them.
You know, that makes a big difference. And again, we keep talking about what's the ROI, what's the value to training today, which is what we're talking about. And as you said, it's not always about performance improvement. It's about small things that can make a big difference in its people who really know what they're doing. You know, it's interesting, and I've heard you say this before, sometimes people send people to training to fix things.
Right?
And you say?
And I say, we don't fix people, right? Send me a monkey, I'll give you a trained monkey. I mean, so we don't fix people. We take, if their attitude is good, we can create some behavioral change. We can create some performance change if the attitude can be influenced. But occasionally, when someone sends us somebody to fix, we can't fix them. Every registration, we make an effort to have an individual interview, phone interview or in person. And in that, we endeavor to find out what the person wants, why they want it, and explain to him how they'll get it. What we get from that also is the attitude right and ready. And sometimes we go back to organizations and ask them to save their money for another cycle or send somebody else for another cycle because the person may not attitudinally be ready.
Sometimes I know you also use assessments in regards to organizations that want to assess their team or assess a person. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
These assessments range from, it could be an organizational climate culture assessment or a customer service climate assessment or an engagement assessment. We have our most recent assessment tools have to do with employee engagement. Or it may be an individual that needs either a 360. We have a 360 insights project. We also have specific assessments for our individual public programs. There is an assessment that aligns with the Dale Carnegie course with the Salesforce. So an organization can do a pre-assessment and a post-assessment assessment to see if the needle has moved in areas of concern.
Yeah, I think that sometimes assessments are not always thought about in that way. They're
right.
typically used for something that is, hey, we'll measure and we'll look at them and we'll see what makes them tick. But it's also not what makes them tick. It's also how it can be used to help them move in a different direction, right?
Right. We have a profiles project that's used for succession planning, for instance, where they'll assess the person they're trying to replace and then look for a candidate with these traits and characteristics. And so they can do that matching. They can also create a job description, right? And we can give them the metrics, statistical metrics of where people should rate on these scales, like adaptability, manageability, accountability. So they could profile people that they're hiring as to whether or not it's a suitable fit for the position they're trying to fill. And they can create their own template, their own organizational template that they can hire against.
And that's what gives it a customized approach, exactly. right? Rather than just yeah. a cookie-cutter approach, as some assessments right. can be in the marketplace today.
Exactly.
You're listening to David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie Maine. I'm your host, David Chulo, on the HR Power Hour. And we will be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and maine.dalecarnegie.com. Today we've been talking with David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie Maine, and we're talking about the value of training. Dave, we've talked a lot today about different products and different ways that organizations can improve their training and to get real value to their organization. You have a study that was done by Dale Carnegie in regards to employee engagement and how training is so important, and you have some stats and statistics. Why don't you share those with us here in the last segment of the show?
Good. Well, the assessments go back a few years, and we did employee assessments in 2012, 2013, and 2014, various demographics. And these assessments were done with the idea of finding out what exactly is employee engagement and how it happens and what an organization might be able to do with a more engaged employee. What caused that was the high rate of turnover that organizations were experiencing. And one of the statistics in the research was that organizations are spending $11 billion a year on employee turnover. So there's got to be a better way. That's an expensive way to do business.
It sure
it's
is.
It's an expensive expense. So what can we as an organization do to engage more people? So the studies were broad-based. It was a general business population in 2012, and then it went to a more focused millennial study in 2014. And in between, there were small business, large business type of research done. What came back in all three studies is that the three top drivers of engagement are also the three top drivers of disengagement. And it probably was an obvious thing. It was kind of a wake-up call. The number one disengager, which was also the number one engager, was the relationship of an employee to their immediate manager. And they found out that that caused more disengagement and actually more turnover than any other one factor. What came out of the study is that people that left the organization or were disengaged and still with the organization, what they were looking for was the term caring manager came out of the research, that they were more interested, they wanted a leader, they wanted a manager that thought of them as people first, right? In other words, you're a good person with skills rather than a person with good skills. And that, I mean, everybody has always known it's your relationship with your manager. But this concretely showed that there are some things that can be done about it. More praise and appreciation, more feedback, more involving people in things. The second of the engagers and disengagers was the senior leadership in an organization. And by that, they meant if the organization has values and a mission statement and a vision statement, do the senior leaders in the organization model that? Are they talking the talk and walking the walk? And if they weren't, people would leave the organization And that's because of the third engager, which is pride in the organization. The organization needs to stand for more than just profit. We need to stand for something either in our communities or a greater good. And what is happening is the availability of this kind of information on organizations is more easily available today than at any time in history. People at night can go home and research other companies and find out what organizations are aligned with their personal values, and they will leave their organization. Doesn't money isn't as big a factor. They'll leave for the value-based things, that the feelings that they get from an organization, and not the measurable.
Yeah, there's really a disconnect sometimes where organizations don't always look to culture as part of the challenge with an organization, right? And so that when you're looking at engagement, sometimes building and designing your culture as you grow and it changes and it morphs through new people coming into the organization, through acquisitions, through mergers and so forth, right? There are things that change the way an organization values that employee. And what you teach them and what you show them is what they will expect, correct?
Correct. Organizations need to have a senior leadership that is articulating a clear vision. That drives culture. If the senior leadership is articulating clear vision and people are encouraged to communicate, to feel empowered, to feel enthusiastic, to be inspired, to feel more confident in an organization, to feel that they're personally making a difference, they'll support a vision that is communicated from the top down.
That, David, is where we lead the show today. And I appreciate you being on the show. Of course, everybody can go to main.dalecarnegie.com, or they can go to the HR Power Hour after this show and click on David's link, and you can connect with him directly. I think you've provided a good overview of ROI in training and why it means a big value to an organization. And I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. While most companies keep important documents concerning employees in one centralized place, do you know what the definition of an employee file is in your state and best practices for creating and maintaining such files? While the definition of what documents must be included in the file varies from state to state, there are a few best practices that employers can institute. First, keep all medical information in a separate file. Accordingly, FMLA paperwork should not be sitting in the same file as employee handbook acknowledgments. Second, make sure that these documents are secured in such a way that a limited group of people have access to the documents. The documents can be kept either electronically or in physical files, but the most important thing is that they are secured. If you currently are maintaining your employees' personnel files and have questions on whether documents should or should not be included in the file, give a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment team a call to discuss.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.